This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء. أما بعد، we continue with the book of Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda رحمه الله تعالى من أدب الإسلام Islamic Manners. We read from page 51, Respect of Parents. بسم الله.
Respect of parents. Observe complete respect and reverence to your father and mother, for they are most worthy of your consideration. A man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked, "Who is the most worthy of my cordial conduct?" He answered, "Your mother, your mother, your mother. Then your father. Then the closest to you, and then the closest to you." Sayyidina Hisham ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reaccounted that his father related to him that Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu saw a man walking ahead of another. He asked him, "How is this man related to you?" "He is my father," answered the man. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu told him, "Do not walk ahead of him, do not sit until he sits, and do not call him by his name." Imam ibn Wahab rahimahullah ta'ala has related that a student of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala by the name of Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Qasim al-Mutaqayyin al-Masri rahimahullah ta'ala said, Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala was once engaged in teaching the Muwatta of Imam Malik. He suddenly stood up for a long while and then sat again. When he was asked why he did so, he answered, "My mother came to ask me something. Since she was standing, I stood up out of respect. When she left, I sat down again." The revered Tabi'i, Al-Husayn al-Hisan rahimahullah ta'ala, said, "It is part of the sunnah to respect four persons: an alim, bi'alim, a leader, an elder, and a father. It is considered rude that a man calls his father by his name." At the end of the book on Manual of Law, titled Al-Kafi, Imam ibn Abd al-Bahr Allah Ta'ala says, "Kindness to parents is an obligatory duty, but it is only easy for the one whom Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala makes it such. Kindness means to be humble with them, to speak to them politely, to look at them with love and respect, to speak in a tone that does not surpass theirs unless they are hard of hearing, to give them complete access to your own wealth, and to offer them the best of your food and drink. One should not walk ahead of one's parents, nor should one speak first to them when it is their so. One should try one's utmost to avoid upsetting them and should seek their pleasure as much as possible. Pleasing one's parents is one of the most virtuous acts. One must hasten to respond to the call of one's parents. If one is engaged in an adhan salah, one should shorten it and respond to them immediately. One should only express kind words to them. In return, the parent should assist the child in his endeavor of being kind to them. By the parents being more accommodating and understanding, they would be assisting their child in his endeavor to be obedient to them. For indeed, when it comes to fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is only with the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that people can obey him and fulfill his commands."
So here we see in this brief chapter, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah ta'ala talks about the importance of being respectful to your parents. While we speak of Islamic manners and we talk about how to be kind to your guest and how to be kind to your host and how to dress appropriately when greeting someone at the door, it would be inconsiderate if we didn't talk about those who are most deserving of our adab and our kindness, and that is our parents. In Islam, we have great importance given to birr al-walidin, being kind and loving to your parents. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talking about obedience to parents, He uses the word ihsan, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And similarly, in multiple places, this is just one citing, but if you look at the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of His command to the people of Bani Israel, He said to them as well, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Ihsan means excellence, giving something your best. The challenge that lies with obedience to parents is an intricate and interesting one. Most folks you'll meet have no problem with being loving and kind to their parents, but their big qualm, their big complaint is we aren't given the opportunity to respect and love parents on a standard that we believe in or something that we view to be appropriate. There is something that is pushed upon us and isn't appreciated either. So what that means is, out of kindness, someone wants to do something to please their parents. The complaint is that when I do this, it's always viewed to be too little, too small, too short. There isn't appreciation there. If you want to build love in any relationship and you want the best to come out of it, it's a two-person thing. Both parties have to engage equally. When children see that their parents are selfless, when children see that their parents are loving, kind, gentle, welcoming, accepting, when they see that their parents appreciate them for the small things they do, not just the big gifts that come in the form of a $10,000 gift or a car or a home, the small things, the cup of water that's offered or a seat that's forsaken for the sake of the parent. When children see that their parents appreciate that, that appreciation, that shukr from parents, in my humble opinion, and also from what I've seen, becomes the fuel that then gives birth to obedience and love from the child's heart. When you talk to young folks, they say that we've only experienced abuse from our parents. We've only seen that our parents are rough with us, they're harsh with us. They say it's with good intent, but as you all know, with younger folks, intent isn't only what builds them, it's also what they see, what they hear. When I look at the Muslim community around me, it really hurts me to say this, but every other person that I see carries some significant trauma they've experienced from their parents in their life or the elders in their life, but are too shy to speak of it because they're worried that in Islam they would be sent off to eternal hell. And this is a very fine line to walk. At the end of the day, respect for parents is something that's very high up on the list of commandments of Islam. We look at the wisdom that Luqman parted upon his son. And he said to them that you will obey your children. You will obey your parents. And وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِي عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Even if they try to push a kufriya, an agenda of disbelief on you, you won't obey them in that, but you will continue to be kind and loving to them. Similarly, in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. If one of them reaches an old age, or the second reaches an old age, then do not even say oof to them. And lower before them your wings of kindness, be loving and forbearing and forgiving to them. But this still doesn't take away from that trauma. How does a person engage in a relationship that they've experienced so much trauma from? Sometimes that comes in the form of constant down-talking. Other times it comes in the form of over-the-top control. Sometimes it comes in the form of just straight-up verbal abuse. Other times it's in the form of setting very high expectations. And it causes a person to crumble in particular in a society where people are taught to fight for their liberties and freedom is key, there really isn't much of an incentive. And this is one of the reasons why I believe people are willing to walk away from religion, actually. because their connection to religion is what their parents taught them, and they're so frustrated by the situation at home that when it's time for them to walk away from their parents because that's what they believe needs to be done, and I think that's something up for discussion, but nonetheless, they've decided that I have to walk away. So walking away from my parents means walking away from everything associated with them, which also means walking away from the deen. I've spoken to imams in our community who complain of similar situation, that the trauma they carry from their parents, it anchors them down till today. The imams of our community are complaining that our marriages are stressed. Now, if this is the state of community leaders, I can't imagine what it's like for people on the ground. So when I talk about obedience to parents, I believe the first part of this discussion needs to be catered to people like ourselves. I speak to myself as a parent. That the only way you're going to get obedience and love, and you're going to get this Quranic standard of obedience from children, is if you offer them the Quranic standard of parenting. If you offer them the prophetic standard of love. Because good begets good. But if you don't put the right fuel into the tank, you can't expect the same yield of energy. You're not going to get the same thing out in return. On the other hand, for young folks, it's important to understand that as life goes on, you become aware of certain realities that you may have not experienced earlier in your life. I think that's just the cycle of life. The more you climb the ladder, the more clear your view becomes of the streets and everything surrounding you. You become aware of certain responsibilities and certain restrictions that you have. When you're young, you expect the world to be picture perfect. The image that you build in your mind, you begin to wonder, why doesn't everyone live by this image? Why don't my parents parent the way I'm thinking they should parent? Why aren't my friends the way I picture them to be? So everything needs to be picture perfect. But as you progress in life, you begin to realize that human beings are a combination of their own circumstances, and the way they interact with one another is highly influenced by that. So then in life, as you move on, you find a softer spot for your parents, because you find yourself facing similar circumstances, and then you begin to ask yourself, I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they went through what they went through. So you begin to cut them some slack. Similarly, when your parents get older, you have to understand that their ability to reason at the same level as you as a young person may be different. The way someone at a particular age reasons is very different from another person at another age. Ultimately, remember that no matter how many ups and downs you have in a relationship, it is absolutely imperative that children are respectful to their parents and loving and kind to whatever capacity they can. And I think that's where a good conversation comes in hand, where you sit with your parents and talk to them that, look, this is my capacity. This is what I can do financially, visitation-wise, being with you, loving you, you know, being present. This is what my capacity is. Having that conversation, because otherwise you're just going to constantly miss each other. Expectations are very different from the deliverables. You need to have them somewhat in line with one another. Being respectful to your parents, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, is one of the ways that you gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one riwayah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that being respectful to your parents, having the proper manners and etiquettes when interacting with them, is a way to increase your rizq. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, I mean, increase your rizq means Allah will give you barakah. He'll give you blessings in the money that you earn. And similarly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promises that Allah will give you a longer life. The scholars debate whether this means literally you'll get more years in your life, or you'll have more barakah in the limited life that you have in this dunya. Either way, you have a longer life. When you have a tense situation between two people, someone needs to take a vow to get rid of that tension. And expecting elders and seniors to do that, in my humble opinion, isn't appropriate. If there is a tense situation, the one that is younger should take the vow first. You shouldn't wait for your father or mother to call you because you had a big argument and haven't spoken to them for a few days.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the Muslim permission to exercise a 3-day cool down period. La yahillu li muslimin an yahjura akhahu fawqa thalathin. Faman hajara fawqa thalathin famata dakhala an-nar. It isn't permissible for a Muslim to forsake their brother for more than 3 days, and whoever does so and dies in that state will enter into the fire of hell. You should be the one that humbles yourself. At the end of the day, never forget the sacrifices that parents make for children. Many of those sacrifices may have occurred long before you had consciousness, so you may not have experienced them or understood them. I was once teaching a Quran class to young kids. This was when I was Imam in England. These young, tiny kids, 7-8-year-old kids, used to come to my Quran class. So one day I gave them a task, and I said to them that I want you to go to your parents today, and I want you to ask them to share a story with you of something they did for you that you have no idea of. Write it down, come back to class, share it tomorrow. And these kids, they came back the next day and they were reading these stories, and it was a sob class. Everyone was just tearing out and crying. This one young man talks about how his father, I remember the story actually. He said, I got injured while playing sports and I was bleeding. My father took me and ran with me in his arms all the way to the hospital. He said, my father said to me, I ran with you in my arms all the way to the hospital. And he looked at his dad and said, Dad, you don't look like you were in that kind of shape. It's a funny kid. So his dad says, I wasn't. I just don't know what got into me. That when I saw my child in pain like this, all of my pain went away. You ask a mother what it's like staying awake nights on nights after giving birth to a child with so much uncertainty in life, in particular when they're so young. They don't even let one complain out about it. Rather, they stay awake all night changing those diapers and cleaning the urine. Try to urine on someone in your life and see what they do. I don't care whose baby it is. But a mother, when her child urinates, there's a 10-second sort of frustration. And then she smiles and kisses the child on the forehead. This is my baby. She takes the child, changes the diaper with honor, and then puts the child in some beautiful clothes and, you know, comb their hair and put some fragrance on them and put a clip on them. And then they'll say, oh, my daughter looks beautiful. My son looks beautiful. That's the love of a parent. There's nothing in the world that can compare. That love is important to discuss if we're trying to understand how to have proper adab for your parents. Talk about a father who didn't know if he'd be able to pay for the bills, who stayed awake all night wondering what kind of child his son would turn out to be, his daughter would turn out to be. Running up and down the city, dropping them off and picking them up from school. Parents do this. And they do it without even a single complaint. No complaint at all. They just do it. They do it. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Oh Allah, have mercy on them just as they had mercy on me when I was young. There are these anecdotes that people share. You know, the anecdote of the father who was sitting on the bench and asked the child what the name of the bird was. You guys know that story? He pointed out a bird and said, what's that bird? And he told him the answer. And then a little while later, he asked him again, what's that bird? And he gave him the answer. And he kept asking him again and again. Finally, the son got frustrated and got up and walked off. The father went to his son and said, my son, you walked away from me today. When you were young, you asked me the same question 30, 40 times, and I never walked away from you. How quickly did you give up on me? How fast did you forget me? When a parent takes their child out for a weekly restaurant meal, Bandu Khan, right? They take their child somewhere for a good meal. The parent has fakhr. They have pride in this, that today I'm going to take my child out. They go there, they ask the child, what do you want? And then that same child, when they get old, they take their parent out to the restaurant and they order the cheapest food on the menu. This is not ihtiram. This is not adab. As you get old in life, I'll tell you guys something, because I've seen it with my own eyes. You become more vulnerable, because young people always ask this, why are my parents so clingy? Why are they so frustrated? Why are they always so cranky? All of these things. So I tell them that you have to understand when a person gets old, in particular once they cross that 60, 70 year age, life gets very hard for them. And the reason is because their companions and their peers are now the ones who janaza is being read on. So now their safety net of people who they grew up with are leaving. And reality hits them that one of those days it's going to be their janaza. Their friends decrease, their mobility decreases, their ability to engage decreases, most likely when it comes to social norms. I don't care what part of history you lived in, by the time you're 70, you're not in anymore, right? You're on the outskirts of the social norms. So you become more and more irrelevant, and then you're sitting at home and you begin to wonder, who's going to be by my side? How am I going to financially provide for myself? Who's going to take me to my doctor's appointments? Who's going to go pick up the pills for me? Who will look after me? Is there anyone that's going to massage my feet when my feet are hurting? Is there anyone that'll bring me a heating pad when I need it for my back? Is there anyone that'll bring that Vicks vapor rub and put it on my neck when I have congestion in my throat? And then the nights pass by and no one's showing up. That loneliness is painful, my friends. It's very painful. And I know that there's an inconvenience. Young people, they say, I have a busy schedule. I have this going on. I have that going on. But some things are so important that no matter how busy your life is, you must learn to put them on hold to fulfill that responsibility. And there is no responsibility that's as serious and as intimate as the responsibility of taking care of your parents. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. I once spoke to a couple old folks. I had gone to visit them. They were in one of those old people's homes. So I had gone to visit them. I was sitting with them, and it was a nice place. They had, like, they were showing off the coffee machine, and the vending machine was really nice. You know, they're kind of giving me the tour of the place. We sat down, and I can tell Auntie was very heavy in her chest. She was carrying something. So I said to her, tell me what's going on. She says to me that, you know, I give my child everything. She said, you see these wrinkles on my face? My face wasn't always wrinkly. I had beauty once upon a time. My skin was soft and straight, and I had so much beauty. But all of my years of beauty, all of my youth, I sacrificed it all just for my child. If you ask me, where did these wrinkles come from? Where did this old age come from? It was all in just doing khidmah of my children, raising them, hoping them that one day they would become worthy to be members, upright members of society. My husband and I, our doctor visits became frequent. Our health became poor. One day we were sitting and our children came and they said, Mom and Dad, we think it's appropriate that we have you admitted into one of these old people's homes. So she said to me that in that moment, my world fell apart, but I didn't want my child to know that they were doing something wrong because they wouldn't be able to live with the guilt of it. So I smiled and I said to them that your father and I were just talking about this. So then we started packing our stuff. She said, my child loaded my stuff, dropped me off. And when they closed the door to leave, after they dropped off our stuff, set us up in the room. When my child was leaving, when he closed the door, she says, my husband and I went to each other, we embraced each other, and we started crying. Because we realized that we were the only ones there for each other. And this was how our journey was going to end. I began to think in that moment, imagine what would happen to this lady if her husband were to die. Imagine what were to happen to this husband if his wife were to die. So much loneliness, so much pain for one son. While on the other hand, the kids are going out to watch movies and they're enjoying themselves and having a blast out there. That's not right. This is kufran and ni'mah. This is being ungrateful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, he didn't have a mother by his side as he grew up. But we all know the narration where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his mother's grave. And Umar radiallahu anhu narrates it. He says, we were on our way to Mecca and we took a detour and we stopped somewhere. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started crying. He was crying and crying. So one sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, why are you crying? That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is where I stood when I buried my mother, right there. By the way, depending on which opinion you take, whether this was at the time of Fath Makkah, whether this was at the time of Umrat al-Qadha, or whether it was at the time of Hajjat al-Wada, whichever opinion you take, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was 55 over. How many years over? 50 years have passed by. Whatever opinion you take, because he said that we were coming from Medina to Makkah, so there's ikhtilaf, which safar was this? Which trip was this? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 50 years have passed by. But the pain of not having a mother was very sharp in his heart. And Umar radiallahu anhu says, not only did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cry, but we cried with him. So where we talk about, on one hand, parents stepping up their game and being more kind and loving and being more respectful to their children. I believe this. The more respect and adab you show to your children, the more they'll give back to you. You guys understand? But at the same time, as younger folks, you have to also take the lead and be extra kind and loving to your parents. Break the cycle of awkwardness. Initiate love. You know, say things that you've never said before. If you haven't had the chance in a recent time, just go to your parents, embrace them, and tell them that you love them. You should do that. You really should. You know, when I see someone next to me with a phone and it says on their caller ID, mother, tears come into my eyes because I miss seeing that on my phone. And I probably will never see that again on my phone ever, that a mother is calling again. Last night, my daughter, Aliyah, was in our room. And she was on my bed. So I picked her up and moved her to her mattress. These days, she's insisting on sleeping in my room, so I have a mattress for her next to my bed. So she woke up and she says, Abba, my tummy is hurting. I know her tummy wasn't hurting. So my wife said to me, the only way she's going to go to sleep is if you lie down next to her. So I got up, I lied down next to her. And I just started making some dua for her. I said to her, Radia, I'm going to make dua, you say Ameen. She said, okay, Abba. So I was making dua for her and she was saying Ameen. And Allah is my witness, in that moment, my heart became so heavy, so heavy. I was at the brink of tears, and to avoid the tears coming out because I wanted her to sleep, I just closed my eyes. Because when I was young, my mother, this is how she used to put us to sleep. Rahimahullah. She would say, she trusted the dua of a child more than her own. So what she would do is that she would hold my hands. I remember I was 6 years old. She would hold my hands like this, and then she would wrap her hands around my hands. And she would say, Berta, I'm going to make dua. You say, Ali. Allah loves the duas of children. This is the love of a mother. Now, in that relationship, are there ups and downs? Of course there are. Were there moments where I had contentions with my mother? Absolutely there were. Were there moments where there were frustrations? Absolutely they were there. But I'll never forget the last statement I heard from my mother in my life. I was at the airport, I went to drop her off. The last statement I heard of my ears from my mother before she crossed security. I went to drop her off at the airport, she was on her way to Umrah. And I embraced her one last time before she crossed security. And she whispered in my ears while she had tears in her eyes. She said, in Urdu, she said, Beta, agar parvarish mein koi kami ki ho to maaf kar. That if I failed you in your upbringing, forgive me. These were the last words I heard from her. And it taught me that a parent's love for their child is such that Allahu Alam, maybe when she was dying, the last thought she had was of her own children. So for those of you who have your parents with you, respect them, love them, forgive them. Put all bygones bygone. Let them be gone. Let them fall aside. If you have the honor, if you have the opportunity to go and kiss your mother's beautiful forehead, then do that. I would even say kiss their feet if you could. Kiss your father's hand. Buy a gift for them. Embrace them. Let your father know what kind of role model he is for you. How much strength you find in him. If people in our society can't respect their parents, this society is going to come crumbling down. Are you guys listening to me? And I know there's always going to be a but if. Someone's going to say that. The reality is that no matter how many ifs there are, you have to overcome those ifs. You have to overcome those buts. Now, there are these stray, singular cases where you have extreme abuse, sexual abuse, drug abuse, outright crazy physical abuse. I'm not talking about those things. If you're in that kind of a relationship, there's a whole different approach to that. Are you guys listening? But we don't talk about the fringe cases when addressing issues that relate to the masses. As they say, أَشَّادُ كَالنَّادِرْ وَالنَّادِرْ كَالْمَعْدُومِ. We talk about the qaida, the general ruling for every person. So here Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah ta'ala, while discussing this, he brings forth some narrations. First he brings a riwayah of Bukhari and Muslim. مَنْ أَبَرُّ النَّاسِ مَنْ أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِحُسْنِ صَحَابَتِ. Who is most worthy of my good companionship? So Nabi Salim said, what? Your mother. And then? Your mother. And then? Your mother. Showing us the importance. And then? ثم أباك, then your father. Similarly, he shared the interaction of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu with another person, that he saw a man and he said, who is this? And he said, it's my father. So then he taught him three adab, that when you deal with your father, don't walk ahead of him, walk behind him. It's a small thing, but it matters. See, these small gestures help build your worldview of adab. If you let go of, you know how people say, but it's only walking, who cares if I'm one step ahead or one step behind? It matters. Where you stand matters. Have you not seen how military soldiers are trained? Every detail matters. Why? Because it builds their mindset, right? How a celebrity or a political leader will even approach a stage, and how they'll stand and where they'll stand and what time they'll come and how everyone else is going to be seated and where they're going to be seated. All these formalities matter to a degree, right? Now, that's a little extra, at least with your parents, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is saying, behind. It comes to our car example. Your parents shouldn't be sitting in the back seat. They should be in the front seat. Right? I used to say this to my wife all the time when my mother was alive and when my father is still alive, alhamdulillah. But whenever we would go in the car, I would say to her that if I'm driving the car, my request is that you should take the back seat and let my mother sit in the front, because she is more senior and older in age. And at the end of the day, she's my mother. If you're driving, I'll sit in the back. I have no problem. But my mother should be the one who's sitting in the passenger seat. My father should be the one that's sitting there. And not just my father, your parents are the same. If we're going somewhere and her father or mother are sitting in the car, I request her, maybe you should sit in the back. Or if you want to drive, I'll sit in the back. But the elder should always be in the front. This is a matter of adab. The second thing he says is, do not sit until he sits. When you go to a party or a gathering and there's so many people who are saying hi to you and they're high-fiving you, don't get caught in your social life. First, make sure your parents are comfortable. Find them a good seat. Make sure they're sitting with people who they can enjoy the gathering with. Get them a snack or two. Get them something to drink. If there's no one to socialize with them, put your friends on hold and sit with your parents first. But make them feel the love. Don't abandon them. And similarly, when you go to a party or a gathering, make sure they have their seat first. They're comfortable. And lastly, he says, do not call him by his name. I'm thinking of something. I'm not sure if I should share. Can I share with you guys? Someone shared one of these TikTok videos with me. I don't know if it's TikTok or Vine or one of them. Some kind of short form video. Maybe it's the YouTube version. There was some small video someone sent to me. It was this prank where it was a collage of pranks. And the idea was that these husbands would go to their wives and call them by their name. And the wife would get really angry that, why did you call me by my name? You're not supposed to call me by my name. You're supposed to call me some beautiful attribute, my beloved, or whatever it was, you know? So every time it was the same thing. The guy would go and he had a camera running to his wife, and he would say his wife's name. And his wife would get really angry. Why did you call me by my name? Everyone else can call me that. To you, I am this, you know? So I showed it to my wife, and she was laughing too. And then I said to her that these people, they get offended by their husband calling them by their name, but they don't feel any offense at all when it comes to calling their parents by their name. Look at the dunya we live in. That when it comes to calling, you know, you can't call Bay by her name or his name. I don't know which one Bay is for, right? You can laugh all you want to, it's okay. One day you will be irrelevant too. My kids call me out on this all the time. So you can't call that sheikh by his name or that sheikha by her name. But when it comes to your parents, call them Jack and Sandy all you want to. Like no one cares there anymore. That riwayah of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is narrated by Imam Bukhari in his Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Similarly, Imam Abdul Razak narrated in his Musannaf. He then shares a narration of Imam Malik that once he was giving dars, teaching the Muwatta, and his mother came. He stood up out of respect for his mother. Out of respect for his mother, he stood up. And then there are other examples too. He talks about how you should also open your wealth up for your parents. This is a good one. Every child should make a niyyah, specifically and further emphasized, if your parents are not working and are in financial need. They may not say it, but you need to learn to read in between the lines. That a part of my paycheck should be dedicated to my parents. Now, what that portion is, that's for you to figure out. But you should have something that you give to your parents. If you're an able adult who earns money and brings a paycheck home and has some sort of a savings, you should also take care of your parents. give them access to wealth. How they spend it is up to them, but give them some money, right? That way they also feel that joy and pleasure of financial relief, that alhamdulillah, now that we're old, are, you know, I see this all the time where I have so many young folks that I meet and I ask them that you contribute back to your parents and they say mom and dad said they don't need it. Who cares if they said they need it or not? You're not doing it for them anyway. You need it. That's why you need to give it. And I say it to the girls as well. I know culturally this is a sensitive issue. The girls as well. And I'll say it to the guys, you know, everyone should be, now I'm not telling you how much to give. I'm not saying give $10,000, $5,000, $1,000, but give something. If anything, learn from your own parents. And I can't say this on behalf of everyone, but I'm almost sure that majority of you would agree that how many of you know, how many of you had parents who, when you were growing up, sent money back home? Yes? Guys, yeah? The sister side, a bunch of you guys? We saw this, right? There were huquq, rights that their wealth should be shared with other people. Right? And without doubt, parents are the most deserving of that. The first part that I talked about, parents respecting children, Sheikh Abdul Fattah talks about that at the end. He talks about the children respecting parents first and then parents respecting children. I flipped it around in my presentation because I believe one is a very important discussion to have when feeding, when engaging in the second discussion. Yes, go ahead.
Arriving from a journey. If you are traveling to visit someone or if you are about to receive guests, whether those in question are your parents, relatives, peers, or friends of a different age, make sure that your hands, feet, and socks are clean, and your appearance and clothing are neat.
That's so hilarious that he had to say that. Someone must have really done a bad job at receiving guests that Sheikh Abdul Fattah actually had to say this. He said, make sure your socks are clean. Make sure your hands are clean, right? So let's just assume that that's not a problem with you guys, inshallah. That when you go to the front door to meet someone, just make sure your presentation is appropriate, that you're clean and you're, it doesn't matter if it's your best friend or even your parents. You know, some people, they're like, oh, it's my parents, not a big deal. They're family. Family or not, anytime you greet someone, fix your appearance before you meet them. And I would even say that about the masjid. Before you go to the masjid, you know, just spend 20 seconds to make yourself look appropriate. Now, it's not for the sake of attracting anyone's attention. You know that whole thing, you know, boys and girls trying to get each other's eyes at the masjid. Forget all that garbage. Do it for yourself and for your respect of the masjid and for your respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You guys follow what I'm saying? Make yourself presentable when you go to the masjid. Go ahead.
Also, ensure that your attire fits the occasion and the one you are meeting. Because cleanliness and an appearance which is orderly and harmonious brings pleasure to the eye. Never undermine the importance of your appearance, for that would certainly mark the pleasure of the meeting while knowing the enjoyment of those you meet.
Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, if you ever look at any of his pictures online, he was a very well-dressed person. You know that Syrian look, right? These guys, they know how to dress. They're just very, everything's succinct. Everything's in line. Everything's very proper, mashallah. So that's how his dress was. And he's giving that advice to everyone that when you meet someone, spend a little time to fix yourself. And if you're not aware of this, go look at the world of financial transactions and business. You know, how particular are they about the way you dress in a corporate environment, in a professional environment? When you go to a business meeting, you can't just show up in your shorts and some random t-shirt you picked up because it was funny from a fair. You can't wear that kind of stuff. There is a proper attire. So even when you go to meet someone, when you go to receive someone at your door, if you just spend a moment and maybe throw on a thobe or put an abaya on or put some nice shirt on, apply a little fragrance, maybe groom yourself a little bit and then open the door with a smile, the joy that person will experience in that interaction will yield so much benefit, so much love, that if you just came in your PJs, you know, just scruffy and dirty with cheese from cheese balls smudged all over your face, they're going to feel like they're looking at a haiwan, a jinn. They're not going to believe they're looking at a haiwan as an animal. They're going to think they're looking at an animal or a jinn, not some Muslim, good human being. Yes. I saw this in my teachers too. Well, all of them. They all dressed appropriate. Now, I'm not talking about expensive garments. Clean. Clean and good. Appropriate. Yes.
In this regard, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed his companions upon re-entering from a journey, "You are on your way to meet your brothers. Don a good dress and repair your conveyance so that you appear distinct among people as a beauty spot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like indecency in manner and conduct."
Yeah, when a person returns from a trip, in particular in those days, because travel was so rough, you would be scruffy, covered in dust and dirt, bad body odor, hairs all over the place. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell the Sahaba, when returning from a trip before going to Medina, everyone take a break. How about we all get changed? How about everyone takes a little shower, washes up a little bit? So that way, when we enter into Medina Munawwara, we look appropriate. This is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I see this, by the way, at the airport too. Sometimes you'll see some people that when they get off the plane, they go to the washroom first. And they'll have like a toothbrush there, and they'll have a little kit. They'll put some fragrance on and groom themselves, and then they'll walk out. And you can see that, subhanAllah, that's attention. That attention is good, actually. There's a difference between being presentable and then, what's the other word I'm looking for? I think the simple way to say it is being over the top, but I think there are other ways that you can also describe that. Where one thing is that a person is presentable when they go to a gathering, right? And the other thing is that they're almost doing it to attract other people's attention. We're not talking about the second one. We're talking about this first one. And there is a difference between the two. Yes.
Trying to offer a gift to your host and likewise present your guests with a present in exchange of theirs. Because the exchanging of gifts on joyous occasions adds to its delight. A gift, however symbolic, will leave behind happy memories of the occasion. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Exchange gifts and thereby acquire the love of each other." Our pious predecessors used to leave their host with a gift, even if it was something as simple as a miswak.
Always take a gift. The issue that I see with gifting in our society is that the expectations of gifts are so high that people are worried that if I give a small gift, people are going to look down on me, that this person was a cheapo. Lower your expectations and be happy to give whatever you can. It's going to be a community effort. Everyone's going to have to do this. People are going to have to learn to just be happy with small gifts. But when you give someone a gift, it brings barakah. I don't know if you guys recall this, but I noticed this with a lot of the elders of the community, that they would never go to a gathering without a gift. They'll have a closet full of gifts. You guys know the closet I'm talking about? The closet with all the sale items, the Corningware dish sets, right? Where you have like a bunch of gift items. And by the way, you might laugh at it, but I think it's beautiful. I think it's genius that they were considerate of people they might need to visit. So they have all these gifts. And then the kids go out home and they have to scrape off the labels. I did a lot of scraping off of labels when I was young too. Okay, so just do yours here and contribute back to humanity, right? And then those gifts are offered. It's mahabba. This is good. Tahaddu, tahaddu. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, give gifts to one another and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in love for one another too. I noticed that among our mashayikh, it was common for them that when you would visit them, they would give you itr, a small itr, fragrance bottle, a small tiny one. I remember our sheikh, when he would go to Mecca, one of my teachers, he would buy a lot of itr, small, tiny ones, and then he would bring them back. And anyone that would come to visit him, he would just give them one and say, dua bi dirhas, make dua for me. Another one of my teachers, what he would do is, I didn't study with him formally, but I view him as a teacher, someone that I benefited a lot from, just his company. So whenever I go to meet him, he always gives me a pen. And he gives me a pen for every one of my family members, my father, my brother, my sisters, and on the pen it's inscribed, in need of your du'as. Make du'a for me. Something like this. Something on those lines he has inscribed. And every time I go, he gives me this pen. And I have a whole stock of them, sack of them at home. I have a small little cupboard at home, which has itr bottles that were given to me by my shaykh throughout the years, over the past decades. They get an itr bottle, I keep it at home. I'm a big fan of tabarak, barakah. And I believe that these ulama, their gifts are barakah for me. I have an itr bottle in there from Sheikh Yunus, rahimahullah ta'ala. Also from Sheikh Yusuf and some of the other very dear people to me, that they gave these gifts and I keep them as memories, that these are people who showed love to us. So we should always make dua for them too. So he says, even as something as simple as a miswak. Okay, folks, with that, we'll conclude here. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us tawfiq to live by prophetic character. makes us people of forgiveness and forbearance, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires our hearts with muhabba and removes all this jealousy, hatred, animosity, and awkwardness from our society. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.